like to welcome you. This has only just begun.
He has the ability. He has the technology. He has the desire. Aaron McCready. He's ready to rip it up.
This is amazing stuff.
Are you ready for him?
Do it. Do it.
Make some noise!
Aaron McCready. Let's go.
Welcome to AM in the PM. I am Aaron McCready, and I am back on the air after taking last month off. And at the end of May and June, I went down to Florida to see some family and friends, and as always, it was a great time. And then we're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the show, in the second half hour, but once I got back from Florida, and actually just this past week, yours truly found out that I had my identity stolen. And evidently, I'm going around giving away Mercedes. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, and you'll get all the juicy details. So stay tuned for that. And you're also going to find out what's coming for the idiots and the thugs that decide to go buy a Mercedes like they're me. So that's more to come. But tonight, I've got a great show for you. We're going to be having a roundtable discussion and talking about the U.S. economy, education, the job markets, the presidential election, and, of course, how we can defeat the great one himself, President Barack Obama. You know, and I really believe this, that Obama's biggest enemy is the educated voter. And hopefully this show in some ways will help educate you if you're on the fence or if you want to vote for him. And I also truly believe this, and some people may think that I've just totally lost my mind when I say this, but truly believe this, that if, you know, take 2008 out of it and forget about 2008. You know, Obama had us all duped in 2008. Well, I won't say all of us, but the majority of the country, since he is president, for goodness sake. But I truly believe that in 2012, if you still have an Obama bumper sticker on your car, or if you have an Obama 2012 bumper sticker on your car, that should entitle you to park in handicapped spots. I mean, it really should. I mean, that should suffice. And that's not anything against people that have a handicapped sticker on their tags or the handicapped stickers in their windows. But if you think that this president, which is a fascist, dictatorial style president, should be reelected, then maybe you need to park closer to the door in a handicapped spot, because I don't think you'll be able to quite walk in. But anyways, we're going to talk about that. As always, if you'd like to take part in the show, you can call the show at 646-200-3400. That is 646-200-3400. Or you can go online and take part on our online chat at blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready. That's AaronMcCready. And again, the call-in number is 646-200-3400. Adam is our producer and call screener tonight. So you will talk to him. Make sure you sound somewhat intelligent, or he will not put you on. We've had that problem several times before. You can also go to my webpage, AaronMcCready.com. That's AaronMcCready.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at AaronMcCready.com. But as promised, I've got a roundtable discussion, and with me tonight, I have got a couple of people that I go way back with. First is Wally Hood. Mr. Hood is a retired senior-level executive with a major bank, and he has expertise in internal bank operations, commercial personal loans, investments, and the list goes on and on. I also have on the line with me Mike Poe. Mr. Poe has been in the education sector for many, many years, and he is currently a college head coach for men's basketball and men's golf and has expertise in all levels of education. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Glad to be
thank
here.
You. Thanks
you know,
very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And, you know, I don't know if both of you heard this today, but Obama had a speech, and I guess it's called the Dreamers, people that are born in the, not necessarily born in the United States, but I guess came into the United States at a young age. Their families are illegals. They weren't necessarily born here, so of course that would make them illegal. But he wants to give them, not citizenship, but allow them to stay in the country to either finish their education or to take part in our workplace. I guess, Wally, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a little weird because I do have compassion for the youngsters, but what about the illegal parents? Are you going to let the youngsters stay and send the illegal parents home? It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Right. Mike, what do you have to say?
Well, I tend to agree with Wally on that. That's a touchy situation that you have to deal with. And if they were born in this country, obviously they deserve citizenship, and that's by the laws of our Constitution is laid forth. But I also think that if they have any kind of criminal background whatsoever, they need to be deported. I'm probably going to lean a little bit toward the ultra-conservative on that point, but the illegals, whether it be Hispanic or I guess Cuban or whatever, if they seem to be taking the country in a different direction where everything is handed to them and given to them, and I'm all for them being here if they're legal, but I'm strictly opposed with them not being legally an American.
You know what I think? I think that Mitt Romney should have actually went today instead of opposing Obama on this, and this is kind of where I lean too on this, is that, you know, it is a touchy situation, but there's a case here in Georgia that we have someone that is wasn't born here. Her family was here, or they left her, whatever the case may be. But she doesn't speak Spanish. She knows no one in Mexico. She just speaks perfect English, getting ready to graduate college. But then they want to deport her over to Mexico, where she, as far as she knows, she doesn't have a family member. She knows no Spanish. So it's almost like they want to just truck her across the border, drop her off, and tell her to have a nice day. And, I think that we should first seal the borders and then close off the borders to keep any more people from coming in illegally. But the people like that, I guess compassionate conservatism, we need to have some type of compassion because, which is the least fair, sending somebody possibly to a country that they've never been in, don't speak the language, or is it more fair to keep them here, that's getting ready to graduate college, and be a value member of society?
Yeah, it's a problem, and I did hear President Obama today, and of course he says it's not political, which if you believe that, I don't know what, but it's a touchy situation, and jumping ahead a little bit, you can cut me off, Aaron, if you like, but I'm sort of hoping that Rubio is picked as a VP. I know he's working on a bill right now on immigration, and it looks like Obama sort of cut him off at the pass, but the Republicans need to come up with something, that'll draw a few votes.
Right. And I think, too, that Obama came out with this today because yesterday he had a disastrous economic speech. And I'm going to play a little clip of this for you, a little montage that I found, that the speech that Obama gave yesterday, and I want, Wally, your take, and Mike, your take on this, too, as soon as I play it. But this speech that he gave yesterday is almost identical to a speech that he gave back in January. I'm going to play a little bit of this. It's about 2 minutes long, so bear with me. But the first part that you'll hear of each section is the one back in January, and then the second half of each item is the one yesterday. Take a listen.
I believe this is a make-or-break moment for the middle class.
This is a make-or-break moment for America's middle class.
Over the last few decades.
Over the last few decades,
the income of the top 1% has grown by more than 275%.
Grew by more than 275%
to an average of $1.3 million a year.
To an average of $1.3 million a year.
but I also share the belief, but I do share the belief of our first Republican president.
Of our first Republican president.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
A belief that
through government,
we should do together what we cannot do as well for ourselves.
What we cannot do as well for ourselves.
As much as we might associate the GI Bill with Franklin Roosevelt.
As much as we might associate the GI Bill with Franklin Roosevelt.
Or Medicare with Lyndon Johnson. It was a Republican, Lincoln. Who launched the Transcontinental Railroad. National Academy of Sciences. Land-grant colleges.
You know, I could play that on and on and on, but I think that, you know, this president just thinks that the American voters have just blindly trusting him that we have no mind of their own. I mean, am I wrong in thinking that?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. And for Obama to compare himself to President Lincoln, that's a big laugh there for sure.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, yeah, and this has been bothering me for some time. When he keeps talking about the middle class, the middle class is disappearing in this country. I mean, just speaking from an educational standpoint and being involved in education over the last 30-some years, the problem is the middle class is about probably 20% of the country now. You got 40% that's in the upper class, 20% middle, and 40% in the bottom. I mean, the free lunch program speaks volumes to me as far as the middle class is concerned, because in education and in schools and in the state of Tennessee, 40 to 50% or even in some places higher of the student body will eat free lunch. Now, what does that tell you about the middle class? Where when I was growing up, America was middle class, and you probably had 20 and 60 and 20 on the bottom, but it's now grown that the middle class has disappeared, and he keeps talking about the middle class, but in my opinion, there is no middle class, and I'm bothered by that, and I don't think you can, and I don't know how you're going to be able to change it. All he wants to do is get more and more people involved and dependent on government, and that's just not the way the country was founded.
You know, the politicians, their first goal is not to take care of me, not to take care of you, not to take care of anybody else, but it's to get reelected. So the more that they give the population, then, you know, they're going to get reelected, and, you know, that is just a crying shame. You know, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just that, you know, and then they talk about raising taxes. That is definitely not the way to get this economy started. I mean, Wally, where am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. From what I understand, America has the highest corporate tax rate in the world. And, you know, as a result of that, we're losing business all over the globe. I heard the other day that China now is buying more Buicks from General Motors than we buy in the United States. And, of course, the reason for that is the labor is cheaper, but it's cheaper to go to China, start a corporation, pay less taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole thing, and I just think that raising taxes is the worst thing that could happen, and not extending the Bush tax cuts, which expire at the end of the year, unless they do extend it, it's going to be a big impact, a negative impact on the economy.
Right. You know, the average family, as of January 1st, because these tax cuts are expiring, and then also because of Obamacare, the average family, and this is on average, will have a $3,800 tax increase next year. And with us going to be in this recession and us trying to get out of it, if we do not extend the Bush tax cuts, then, I mean, you might as well just call it quits for the U.S. for the short term, because, I mean, we cannot sustain that.
Well, that's right.
I don't want to interrupt you, but you know, it's time for the American, you know, especially on the right, it's time for the gloves to come off. I mean,
right.
we take these shots all the time from the left, and especially on this, you know, I don't know why they don't come across with some facts and throw at them. Like, for an example, my wife is in real estate, and I don't know whether American people know that if you sell your house after 2012, that you have to pay a 3.5% tax on the selling of your home that goes to pay for Obamacare. I don't know why. I don't know why people don't bring these facts out. And the same thing with the financial crisis that, you know, with the banks in this country are in. That all goes back to Barney Frank and all those guys, the liberals who wanted to try to give everybody the opportunity to buy a house. And that's what started all the financial and the recession in which we're in right now. It was all because of those people back in the 90s that wanted to provide everybody in the world with a house. So it's time for the gloves to come off. We've got to retake this country somehow.
Well, it's interesting to me because everybody believes that this is free health care, but just as you said with the taxes on new homes, this $3,800 that on the average people are going to have to pay, that health care is not free. We're going to get a worse system. And here in the state of Georgia, we have a lady. She goes to UGA, and actually, not, I don't think UGA. Maybe it is UGA, but she is right now fighting a flesh-eating bacteria that she got. And it's been on Fox News, CNN, everybody, that she got when she was out and about just having fun. She was actually sliding down a rip line. The rip line broke, and she fell in a river and survived the fall, but it gashed her leg. Flesh-eating bacteria got in. She's surviving. Yes, she had to have some amputations. But you know what? If Obamacare existed how Obama wants it to exist, she would be dead. I mean, am I wrong?
No, not at all. And I was going to say on the health care plan that hopefully the Supreme Court is going to come up with a verdict this coming week, first of the week, and we can all hope that they're going to kill it or at least reduce its impact by, shrinking it down somehow. But it's just a catastrophe, and it's going to add to our debt, because we can't pay for it out of our budget.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they do something about entitlements. And every time the Republicans bring up entitlements, Democrats run for the door and start screaming, you know, you're against the little man. But somebody's got to face up to the fact that our debt is out of control. I think last year, 2011, the ratio of federal debt to GDP was about 70%, and I'm reading that it's probably going to hit 80 to 90% between this year and next year, and then probably 100% or more by 2014, which would be the highest since World War II, and the country just can't sustain that. Just won't work. We'll be the same as Greece.
Well, you were in the financial industry for some time. What would happen if a business ran like that?
Oh, it's crazy. And in the business world, you just, you let them go bankrupt if they get in trouble. And instead of the bailouts, we bailed out everybody, and they're talking about that again in Europe right now with Greece and some of the other countries over there. And how are they going to pay for it? They do it by printing more money. And I guarantee you our Federal Reserve will print more money and help them out, and that's just going to add to what we owe China.
Right.
Ridiculous.
I want to play this clip for you guys also. Today, as you know, Obama was talking about immigration and the Dreamers Act, but he also got heckled today by a reporter. And already the liberal left side is saying because Obama is black. They have no facts, nothing to stand on to help Obama win the presidency again. He didn't have a record to stand on before. He sure doesn't have one now. But take a look at what NBC said today.
As long as Barack Obama is in it.
Yeah. And, you know, Jonathan and Joanne are not saying something because I think they're being politic here, but it, this is just so unprecedented and so outrageous that you have to ask the question, would the right wing be doing this if we had a white president there? The fact that the first
Will you go ahead and answer that question,
well,
Julian?
The fact that
you
had
answer
the first
that question.
I think it's a very important question because I think that this is the first African-American president. We've never had a white president been told by the opposing party to shut up in the middle of a major address to the Congress. We've never had a president like this heckled so disrespectfully. We've never had this otherness treated afforded to any other president. And I think the right wing is going to have some explaining to do, because to me it seems patently obvious.
Well, yeah. I mean, Julian, not to their base, though. I mean, the problem here is that there aren't grown-ups sort of on the other side saying that this is out of bounds. There's no one. Everyone who does
Mitt Romney says nothing when a woman's called a slut and a prostitute.
Exactly.
So he's hardly going to stand up and say anything to this heckler, is he?
Yeah, and the treatment of not just this president as an African-American, but, go back to Sandra Fluke, the treatment of women, the treatment of anyone who dares to not be a conservative, essentially. You're just treated as basically someone who's a non-entity.
And
there
is
isn't anyone on the right who is going to stand up and say that's
and
out of bounds.
And that's right, and I don't mean to jump in front of Jonathan here, but that is why all of the demographic data is showing that the Republican Party are going to quickly become a minority party unless they can do better in reaching out to people of color. And when you see things like this, and exactly as Joanne says, the leadership of the Republican Party doesn't condemn it the way they didn't with Rush Limbaugh, it sends a loud and clear message to everybody else in the country.
So that's absolutely ridiculous. They took the president being heckled today, turned it into a racial thing, and saying that the Republicans cannot reach out to the black voters. But you know what? It seems like to me that the left totally forgets that when George W. Bush was president, he was heckled on an ongoing basis. I'm going to play you a clip of him being heckled. And where were the left? Where were they saying that the president shouldn't be heckled? Is it because the president was white? I'm going to play this clip. It was on July 4th. He was at Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's former home, and he was talking to people that had just been sworn in as citizens of the United States. Take a listen.
Thank you, and happy 4th of July. I'm thrilled to be here at Monticello. I've never been here before.
They're saying defend the Constitution, impeach Bush.
We believe in free speech in the United States of America.
I mean, is that not a double standard or what, guys?
Oh, that's crazy. You know, it seems like the liberals always use the race card if they have nothing else to say. And I did see that clip on TV. And, maybe the reporter was a little out of line, a little discourteous, but it was certainly no big deal. Mm-hmm. And he was just asking a simple question. And Obama seemed to lose his temper, but the deal with Bush was totally different.
Right. You didn't hear, the left speaking out for that. Mike, I want to get your take. You've been in the education. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to comment. They seem to forget Clarence Thomas. When he was conservative, and how he was heckled, what he was put through by the liberals before he was elected to the Supreme Court. And going back to the race thing, I'm a firm believer that the liberals want to keep especially the blacks in this country suppressed. They want to keep them in a position where they have to rely on government. That way they can continue to get their support when it comes to election time. They have no intentions whatsoever of helping the blacks in this country. It's all about trying to keep them suppressed.
Well, the more reliant you are on government, the more power the Democrats have. That's exactly what they want. You're exactly right. But I also want to get your opinion on something else. You've been in the education industry sector for 30-plus years. This is a commercial that is being aired right now by ExxonMobil, and they talk about the education system in the United States and how poorly Americans are doing to the rest of the world. I want to get your opinion on this, and if you could tell me what we're going to need to do to get our standards back up in the United States.
In 2009, the U.S. took home over 75 medals in athletic competitions. Today, our students rank 25th in the world in math. There's no medal for that. Let's get America back on track. The more we invest in teachers, the better our students will perform. Let's solve this.
What's it going to take to get us to the back to the top of the world where we used to be?
We got to raise our standards. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything, the government's gotten involved again in education. And education, leave it to the educators. They know what's best for kids. And what happened, I think, back in the 60s, I think that the standards were lowered to help not only minorities, but also people who just had a tough time in school. And then the standards were lowered in order to get these people through, to get them an education. And we've never raised them from that point.
To use a sports analogy, and you're a head coach of men's basketball at a college and also men's golf. If you did not hold your players to a high standard and continually push them and challenge them, your teams would not be any good. I mean, that should be how our education system is, too.
It's all relative. I mean, the people who excel in the classroom and work hard in the classroom, those are the people you can depend on when it comes to playing a basketball game or playing in a golf tournament. The people who are lazy in the classroom and have no work ethic, they'll be the same way. It all goes hand in hand.
All right. Wally, what do you think?
Well, I agree with everything that's been said, and one additional thing. I think they should dissolve the Department of Education at the federal level. I just don't see what good they're doing when you get right down to it, and Mike, you know more about it than I do, but the states and the local governments control the school systems. I don't know why the federal government's involved at all, and they're just costing the taxpayers, unnecessary money.
Right.
Well,
go ahead.
I agree on what Wally just said. When you're in the in Tennessee, you have to pay membership dues to the NEA, which is the National Education Association, and to the TEA, which is the Tennessee Education Association, and into your local system. Well, you know, so much money comes out of your check each payday for these memberships. If they did away with the NEA, they did nothing for people in education. They do that. The state, as Wally said, the state and the local associations are the ones who make the decisions that know what's best for whatever region of the country that you're in.
Right. You know, and we all know what's best for our households. So why wouldn't our local governments know what's best for where we live? It's the same exact thing. You know, that would be like your great 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 grandfather coming back and telling you how to run your house. So disconnected and so far up, they would have no idea.
Right.
But one thing I want to play, and we're getting ready to go on a hard break for Fox News Radio for a newscast. But you know, Joe Biden and Barack Obama are so disconnected from middle America, lower income people. This is what Biden said in the speech earlier.
My dad never worked at a food fair. My dad never wore a blue collar. LeBrock makes me sound like I just climbed out of a mine in Scranton, Pennsylvania, carrying a lunch bucket. No one in my family worked in a factory.
You know, I would, you know, if I was in West Virginia in the coal mines, or in parts of Virginia, I would be totally offended by that. You know, Obama makes Biden look like he came out of a coal mine. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the coal miners in this country, with blue-collar workers. And I think the Democrats, they've forgotten who built this country. It's not the elites like they think they are, or the government. Government never created a job in its life. You can maybe create an environment to create a job, but they never create a job. It's the hardworking people out there that are the backbone of this country. And to me, please correct me if I'm wrong, that should be an insult to middle America and the people that's trying to climb their way up. And while they still vote Democratic, I have no clue.
You're exactly right, and I hope Romney takes advantage of it, and especially Obama having that 40,000 ahead dinner last night in New York City. You know, the common man, how often do they go to a 40,000 ahead dinner?
Right.
I hope the Republicans can bring some of that up and take advantage of it.
Mike, what do you think?
There again, take the gloves off. I mean, that's the only way. I mean, we've got to get some things on the table and make Barack Obama and, you know, make him answer questions. Don't let him – I mean, he's great at making speeches if he's got a teleprompter and all that stuff, but you're going to have to pin him down and make him come across with some answers because the direction – I mean, Wally mentioned the national debt a few minutes ago. I mean, it's going to be – I mean, it's a lasso around our neck. I mean, that is the number one issue in this country, and that's what's holding back the jobs. That's what's holding back. You know, nobody wants to, because they don't know what they're going to do about the taxes and all that kind of thing. It's all relative, but somebody's got to answer some questions at some point.
Well, you know, hopefully America will smarten up and hold the media to a higher standard, because the media gave Barack Obama a total pass. If you took McCain's resume and Obama's resume, took their names off the top, took their political affiliations off the top, and you were hiring for a CEO of a company, and you looked at Barack Obama's experience, John McCain's experience, and compared the two, who would you go with? I mean, there would be no question to go with John McCain. Obama has no experience. He's not ever worked in the private sector. It's crazy. It's just crazy how he got elected. The media did not ask the tough questions, and here we have this president.
Yep.
Well, Mike Poe, Wally Hood, I've got to go to a news break. I enjoy having both of you on. I know you need to get off here, Mr. Hood, but I've enjoyed the conversation. You come on. You're welcome back anytime. And please, when you go up to North Carolina tomorrow morning, head up that way, please be careful, and hopefully I will be able to see you soon.
Well, I'll sure do that, and thanks for having me on, Aaron.
Well, thank you. And, Mike, I appreciate you coming on also.
I was very glad to do it, and I will be back again.
Well, sounds great. You guys can stick around if you want to listen to the show, but I'm going to take a news break right now. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Ready to go? I'm Pam Puso. President Obama says it's the right thing to do, an executive order effective immediately, easing enforcement of immigration laws. The order spares as many as 800,000 young people from deportation by giving them a chance to stay in the U.S. and work.
It makes no sense to expel talented young people who, for all intents and purposes, are Americans.
Republican White House hopeful Mitt Romney believes the president's decision will make finding a long-term immigration solution more difficult.
I'd like to see legislation that deals with this issue.
Come November, the Hispanic vote could be critical in states like Colorado, Nevada, and Florida. And with the president planning on speaking to a group of Hispanics next week, some say the policy change is politically timed. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal has this live.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer notes the policy change comes just ahead of the Supreme Court decision on a tough immigration law she signed.
You know, they preempt everything.
Didi Garcia Blaze, founder of the Latina group, the National Tequila Party, says even if it is politically timed,
I believe he did the right thing despite the political blows he's going to be receiving.
23-year-old Quetzali Pliego wants critics to know why she feels she deserves to be here.
I came when I was 12 years old. It wasn't our choice to come here.
She says her goal is to work, not take up government resources, Pam.
Thanks, Jessica. Picking up steam in the Pacific, Hurricane Carlotta, the Category 2 rainmaker, is on a collision course with Mexico's southern coast.
3 to 5 inches is going to be very common over there, many of the Mexico states. There could be maximum amounts up to 12 to 15 inches as well.
Dennis Feltkin with the National Hurricane Center, the storm expected to make landfall late today or early tomorrow. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack planning a two-day trip to Colorado and New Mexico as fires in both states continue to force evacuations and threaten buildings. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News Talk presents the Daily 411 with Ashley DeBorkin.
You'll soon see Fox News Channel War Stories host Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North starring in a special televised reunion thanks to the Discovery Channel's Auction Kings, a sword that was given to him the day of his graduation from the Naval Academy in 1968 that he used to cut his wedding cake with and wore in many ceremonies, was stolen in 1980. Guess who found it? The folks at Gallery 63 initially tried to reach Colonel North, but he was out of the country. A collector bid on it and won. The Auction Kings later decided to reunite him with this treasured item from his past, and they filmed it for an upcoming episode. In other news, on Fox 411, Randy Travis has filed a countersuit accusing his ex-wife of divulging confidential information about him to damage his reputation and career. Elizabeth Travis was also his longtime business manager.
It's the Fox 411 on Fox News Talk.
An official salute to gay pride at the Pentagon. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta thanking gay and lesbian military members for their service.
Before the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you faithfully served your country with professionalism and courage. And just like your fellow service members, you put your country before yourself.
For the first time, the Pentagon has joined the rest of the government in marking June as Gay Pride Month. Convicted of conspiracy and securities fraud, former Goldman Sachs director Rajat Gupta, he was accused of feeding confidential information to a corrupt hedge fund manager who used the information to make millions.
We're obviously disappointed by this conviction.
Gupta's lawyer considering an appeal. Sentencing is scheduled for October. The maximum punishment for securities fraud is 20 years, 5 years for conspiracy. New York teens who want a tan may have to get it the old-fashioned way.
Some state lawmakers wanting to enact a ban on indoor tanning for children under 16 say it was the media coverage of the New Jersey mom accused of bringing her 5-year-old into a tanning booth that brought the issue to light. Doris Day, a dermatologist, says tanning beds pose health risks.
Teenagers do go to tanning salons. There's over 3,000 emergency room visits due to burns from tanning salons every year. This damages the skin cells, increases the risk of skin cancer.
Right now, New York State bans anyone under 14 from tanning, but 14 to 17-year-olds are allowed to tan with parental permission. In New York, Courtney Keeley, Fox News Radio.
A crowd growing at Niagara Falls as a man prepares to attempt something that's never been done before, a high wire walk from the U.S. to Canada. A few hours from now, Nick Valenda will give it a try. He'll be tethered to the tightrope to prevent falling into the water. If he does slip, he'll dangle by his waist and wait for rescue. Pam Puso, Fox News Radio.
Landscape. The future is in peril. What we need now is a shining hope, bringing the nation back. One photo at a time. This is Aaron McCready.
From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. But if no one among us is capable of governing himself, then who among us has the capacity to govern someone else? We're not, as some would have us believe, doomed to an inevitable decline. It is time to check and reverse the growth of government, which shows signs of having grown beyond the consent of the governed. Can we solve the problems confronting us? Well, the answer is an unequivocal and emphatic yes. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans.
Well, welcome back to the show. Glad you're joining us. If you want to call in at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. We'll get you live on the air. We've still got Mike Poe joining us. He will take questions also. So, again, 646-200-3400. If the phone line isn't the way you want to join the show, you can go on our online chat, type in a question there, and I will relay that question, and we will try to answer it to the best of our abilities. Of course, we are right, you know. But that is blogtalkradio.com/Aaron McCready, blogtalkradio.com/AaronMccready, or you can go to AaronMcCready.com, listen to previous episodes there, and you can follow me on Twitter at AaronMcCready.com. You know, the second half of the show is always devoted to how we are going to defeat Barack Obama, but at the start of the show, I had said how I had my identity stolen, and I really believe that everyone out there listening to me should go online right now, and this is just my public service that I'm giving everybody, and go out and freeze your credit. It only takes 15 minutes for you to thaw it, 15 minutes to unfreeze it. So if you want to apply for a credit card or a car loan or a home, you can unfreeze it. But if I would have frozen my credit, I wouldn't have purchased a Mercedes, and I wouldn't have gotten a credit card from the Pentagon Federal Credit Union. And I'm going to tell you something about this, and this just really burns me up. The Pentagon Federal Credit Union was formed to help the members of the military and the member and people that work at the Pentagon. Well, you know what? It was just beyond me how an entity of the federal government, maybe they're privately owned, but they do deal with the government, how they could let someone just apply online, get a car, send a check out, give them a line of credit on a credit card, and just take their word for it. And you know who let me know that this was happening? It was when I was applying for a Discover card, the private sector. They didn't even have my ID at the Pentagon Federal Credit Union. The private sector is the one that protected me and that let me know what was going on. And we want this government of ours that can't even run a Social Security Administration, that here in Atlanta, when you go just to try to get a Social Security card, you are in line for hours and hours and hours at a time. When I married my wife and she went to get her name changed and get a new Social Security card, it took her 4 to 5 hours just to apply for our new Social Security card. 4 to 5 hours. But yet we want this government to give us free health care. We want this government, when we are sick, to take care of us. Like I said earlier in the show, this lady, Amy Copeland is her name in Georgia, that she is 19, 20 years old, so to speak, or right around there. She's battling the flesh-eating bacteria. She was unconscious. She had to have her legs amputated and some of her hand and fingers. Do you think that if the government was in charge of her health, they would have spent the time to amputate her legs and to get her back and better? You know, they did a skin graft today on her to help one of the wounds. You think under the Obamacare, you think that would... That you know, she would be able to live? I don't think so. I do not think so. And Obama just wants this government to be the say-all, end-all, because Obama wants to be a dictator. That's how he's acting. You know, I interviewed Malcolm Out Loud. He's on 500 radio stations. He was on my show. And you know what he said? I could not put it better. Malcolm Out Loud said that Obama would be a very fine dictator in some third world country. And he would. Maybe he should go over to Kenya. His dad was born in Kenya. Maybe he can go, after he's president here and messing up our country, maybe he can go try to help, quote unquote, Kenya. He would be great over there. Huh. I mean, this guy is just unbelievable. And again, if you want to vote for Barack Obama, if you want him to be president, I mean, I just don't know what to say about you. And I'm going to tell you some of his failed policies right now. Obama had an $825 billion with a B, not million, billion with a B, stimulus. And he said that if we passed this $825 billion stimulus, that it would keep unemployment rate below the 8%. And you know what? And right now it's nowhere close to the 6% that they predicted it would be at. Instead, since the stimulus was passed, the unemployment rate's increased from 8.2% to 8.5%, and it's remained above 8%. And after World War II, it is a record 35 straight months. We have never been at that high of an unemployment rate for 35 straight months since World War II. And the unemployment actually peaked at 10.1% back in 2009. But we want him to be president again. He said before, if his first year, if he doesn't have this turned around, he's looking at a one-term proposition. You know, and then you have him saying this comment about the private sector, that the private sector is doing fine. Listen to this.
Okay. Saying that you're blaming the Europeans for the failures of your own policies?
The truth of the matter is that, as I said, we've created 4.3 million jobs over the last 27 months, over 800,000 just this year alone. The private sector is doing fine. Where we're seeing weaknesses in our economy,
doing fine,
have to do with state and local government. Oftentimes, cuts initiated by governors or mayors who are not getting the kind of help that they have in the past from the federal government, and who don't have the same kind of flexibility as the federal government in dealing with fewer revenues coming in. And so, if Republicans want to be helpful, if they really want to move forward and put people back to work, what they should be thinking about is how do we help state and local governments and how do we help the construction industry? Because the recipes that they're promoting are basically the kinds of policies that would add weakness to the economy, would result in further layoffs, would not provide relief in the housing market, and would result, I think most economists estimate, in lower growth and fewer jobs, not more.
One of the things he said that the private sector is doing fine, but what needs help is the public sector. Now, let me translate this for you. Public sector is government. Public sector is government. Government's too big right now as it is. So, you know what? We do need less government. We do need the public sector to suffer a little bit. The public sector doesn't create the jobs. The one that he says is doing just fine, Mr. President, do you really think the public sector is doing just fine when you hit 10.1% unemployment? You're running at 8.2% right now. You promised us it would be at 6%. You had an $825 billion, billion with a B, stimulus. You've racked up more debt than any other previous president combined. You're throwing us in a hole. We're not going to be able to dig out of this. But you want your job back. You want your job back. You know, I've said this on a couple shows back when I first came on Blog Talk Radio. But you know what? We all need to look at it like we are members of a board of a corporation. The voters are a board of a corporation. The corporation is the United States of America. You know what? And we have a CEO right now. We have our president. We'll say Barack Obama is the CEO of our corporation. And his contract is up for renewal. And you're looking at his past history. And you have a CEO of a company, Barack Obama, of our company, the United States. And we're sitting looking at the results. We're sitting looking at the paperwork. And we see all this debt, this $825 billion that he spent. We can't afford that. The 10.1% unemployment we hit, the 8.2% we're at right now, he promised us it wouldn't go over 6 by this time. He promised if we let him have that money, it would go over 8%. But he wants his job back. He wants us to renew his contract. If you are sitting on a board of a corporation, which you are, the United States, you have a voting say, you have voting rights, you have the voting privilege. It's not rights. It's a privilege to vote, not right. Some of you out there shouldn't even be able to vote. But anyhow, that's the system we have right now. And you want to renew his contract after he spent us into oblivion. You know, Obama promised that some of his plans would save the average family $2,500 on their premiums for insurance. You know, we've got all these taxes, Taxmageddon coming on January 1st. Absolutely ridiculous. If you want to buy a new home, get ready. You better start saving up. You're going to be taxed out the wazoo. You think this health care is free? You think this health care is free that you're going to get? You know, if you think that, then I have oceanfront property in Arizona to sell you right now. I have that Mercedes that evidently I bought, unbeknownst to me, to sell you right now. Hopefully the police don't hear that, because then they might come and arrest me. We need to wake up, America. We need to wake up. You know, Mike Poe earlier tonight, said it best. We need to take the gloves off. And I wish I had this clip of Mitt Romney. I'd love to play for you, but it will take too long to get it up. We only have 8 minutes left in the show. If you want to call into the show, call 646-200-3400. 646-200-3400. We've had a few callers, but they haven't been very good, so we've booted them off the air. But 646-200-3400 if you want to go on live with me, or go to our chat room, blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCrady. And where was I at? Adam, where was I at? Can you hear me? Anyways, Barack Obama, what a joke. I don't respect him at all. I'm sure he's a great father. I'm sure he's great to his kids. I'm sure he's a good husband. But you know what? Thank you. Adam just sent me a message. I was talking about Obama wanting his job back. See, I get on such a tirade. It's almost a blind rage. And, you know, Mike posted we need to take the gloves off. We need to take the gloves off. And again, Mitt Romney had this rally, and it was in front of Solyndra, the old Solyndra headquarters. It said Solyndra in the back and everything. You saw the grass growing up, you know, where they were closed down. Nobody was taking care of the property, the yard. But he had it right there in their parking lot. And earlier that day, one of Obama's aides, top aides in the White House, was holding a speech. And there were people there shouting Solyndra, 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 overpowering him. And he got frustrated and couldn't make his speech. Later, the media asked Romney if his campaign sent those people to be part of that speech, to interrupt that speech. And you know what Romney said? And good for Mitt Romney. He said, my campaign absolutely, and I'm paraphrasing here, he didn't say this exactly, but this is pretty much what he said, my campaign absolutely sent those people, because all throughout my campaign, through my primaries, Obama sent people to heckle me down and to shout above me. So you know what? And this was pretty much his exact words. He said, if the Democrats can do that, then the Republicans and conservatives have the same capacity. So I think we are in for it. I think Obama has not been tested. I think McCain was too good to him, too easy on him, had too much respect for Obama. But you know what? Romney was in the private sector. Romney knows what it takes to jumpstart a company. He was in the Olympics. The Olympics, we almost had no Olympics anymore. He brought those back. You know, and people give him a hard time for Bain Capital, for having to dismantle some companies. You know, sometimes you got to do that to save money. If we had someone like that, if Barack Obama was like that, we wouldn't spend, what, $825 billion? Some of these programs were cut. And if you think the public sector's not doing well right now, you just wait till Mitt Romney becomes president. And when he becomes president, you know what? If you're in the public sector, you're really going to suffer. Right now, it's too big. Government is too big. At the top of, you know, well, at the bottom of the hour, the half hour, I played a clip from Ronald Reagan. You know, he said that government is too big. Government has grown more than the consent of the governed. But Obama is complaining that government isn't big enough. Oh, the private sector's doing fine. We've squashed the private sector down. We've got so many people relying on us that we need to grow the government. We've got so many people relying on us. We've squashed the private sector down so much to the level that we want it that people are hurting. That's what he's saying when the private sector's doing just fine. Just fine to who? Just fine to the Democrats. You know, I guess the public sector is hurting. I guess they don't have enough people to keep up with the demand of people needing to go on welfare or unemployment benefits because they can't find a job. Mr. President, why don't you create an environment where people can create jobs? Why would you want to raise taxes on people that are hurting already? You're trying to get blood from a turnip. We have no more to give. The American people have no more to give. You know, I'm going to make a prediction. I think that the election isn't going to be as close as people think it is. I think we're going to have a blowout election. I think it's going to be for Mitt Romney. The Democrats are slowly starting to get tired of him. The black community, they aren't getting as much that they thought from Barack Obama. You know, we're starting to live in a nanny state. We're starting to live where government controls everything. You know, and not to compare the United States, because we're still the best country in the world. We're still the best country in the world. But how do you think Hitler and these other communist countries, how do you think they came? How do you think, you know, the great empire of Rome fell? Little by little. You know, we've just got a few minutes left in the show. And I just want to let you know that if you are hurting out there, if you don't have a job right now, don't give up. Your job should be to find a job. And you need to do the research. Don't take my word for how bad Barack Obama is. Get your sources from other media outlets, Fox News, CNN, those crooks and communists over at MSNBC. Listen to them. Make up your own mind. But when you go into the voting booth, don't just vote Democrat because that's all you voted all your life. Or don't just vote for Barack Obama because he's black and you're black and you have the same color skin, so everything's going to be fine. That's not how it works in the real world. You know, keep your head up. America's been down before. We'll be back again, but we got to take the gloves off. We We've got another show coming up next week. Go to blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready to find out when that is. We're going to have other guests on the air. And thanks for joining us. I'd like to thank my guests, Wally Hood and Mike Poe. They were fabulous. First half hour. Keep your heads up. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.